Good afternoon. I'd like to start with my first slide. You're probably wondering, what are camels doing in a presentation at the American Public Health Association in California? And what can anything that's being done in Israel have relevance to what's going on in the States? I'd like to point out the two things that are similar, at least. First of all, Israel has just joined an exclusive club called the OECD. These are economically developed countries. There's only 34 in the group right now. It includes the United States, of course, and the European Union countries. Israel joined 2 years ago. It also includes Brazil and Mexico and Japan and South Korea and a few other countries. So we have an economically advanced economy. But like every other economically advanced economy, we also have special populations that are at-risk populations. And the camels there remind us that in Israel, especially in the Negev, the southern region of the country, one of the biggest at-risk populations is the Bedouin Negev population. But any other country in the world also has its own pockets of at-risk populations that have special needs, and that the overall population statistics don't apply. Just to give you a few background data about Israel, the overall infant mortality rate in Israel is 4 per 1,000. We have a immunization coverage rate of over 90%, and we have universal health insurance for everyone, national health insurance, and everybody's covered whether they pay or not. They have access to health care, also in community health clinics. Since I'm going to talk a lot about maternal and child health clinics, I'd just like to mention that the whole population gets their preventive maternal and child health care, and especially their child health care, in MNCH clinics that are community-based. And all socioeconomic segments of the population use these clinics, because in Israel, the only place you can get your child immunized is in an MNCH clinic. The pediatricians in curative care clinics, our private pediatricians, do not have access to the free immunizations that are given out by the government. So you have both high and low socioeconomic classes using these clinics. These clinics are, as I say, they're community-based, and they're also run by nurse practitioners. They're nurse-based clinics. And as you see, the title is the LICA Association Between Multivitamin Food Fortification in Infants Aged 6 to 12 Months of Age, and this decreased rates of visits to primary care clinics and emergency room for infectious diseases. Actually, our study was designed to find a better way to achieve the prevention of iron deficiency among infants. I don't need to tell this audience about the problems that iron deficiency can cause. The current estimate that I found in the literature is about between 6.6 to 15% of American toddlers have iron deficiency. In Israel, the overall rate is around 20%. And there's also a question to what extent iron supplementation may increase or decrease the rate of infections. There's other micronutrients that are associated with infectious diseases. Zinc deficiency also increases the rate of diarrheal and diseases and respiratory diseases, especially in malnourished populations. Vitamin A, I think, is more of a disease modifier than actually a vitamin that can cause an increase or decrease in the rate of infectious diseases. And in general, these micronutrients are consumed in adequate quantities by American children, but there still are pockets of children in which there are iron deficiency and deficiencies of other micronutrients. Just to go on to our population, in the southern region of Israel, we have Bedouin Arabs that have a very, very low socioeconomic status. A few words about the Bedouin. They are a semi-nomadic population. They were completely nomadic about 100 years ago, but they're gradually becoming settled, and now they're semi-nomadic. They have a tribal social structure, very patriarchal. There's a high rate of polygamy. About 35% of Bedouin men are married to more than one wife. Also a high rate of first cousin marriages. 40% of Bedouin men are married to their first cousins. and another 20% are married to the second cousins or more distant relatives. So a very high rate of consanguinity in this population also, along with low educational levels and a low socioeconomic status. The Jewish population in the Negev includes a lot of Jewish children who are the children or grandchildren of immigrants, of Jews from North African countries or Middle Eastern countries, countries like Morocco, Tunisia, Iraq, Iran, and also a sort of population of Ethiopian Jews, and also some Jews from Romania and Europe. And in the Negev, they're mainly of low or low-middle socioeconomic status. And I'll show you some how our population is characterized. Among the Jews in the Negev, the infant mortality rate is 4.5 per 1,000, compared to 4, which is overall for all the total population of Israel. Among the Bedouins, about 3 times higher, 13.6 per 1,000. It's a very high rate of anemia already at 6 months of age, as defined by hemoglobin of less than 11 grams per percent. 40% of Jewish infants and 60% of Bedouin already are anemic at 6 months of age. You are also seeing a fair amount of stunting already among the Bedouin infants by 6 months of age, even though their birth weight is normal and equal to the birth weight of the Jewish infants. And we see a very low rate of compliance with recommended liquid iron supplementation. And I'd just like to elaborate on this point a little, that since our country was set up as a socialized country, and since all the preventive childhood care is given in maternal and child health clinics, and it's run by nurses, they generally give the advice to the mothers according to national directives. And if you look at how to prevent iron deficiency, if you read the American recommendations, they say a child should have adequate iron in his diet, and he or she can get it by consuming iron-rich foods, or by having iron supplementation, or iron fortification. And there's a whole range, and it's basically, as I understand it, and perhaps a conversation between the caregiver and the mother as to how this mother wants and the father wants to give adequate iron to this child's diet. By contrast, in Israel, they have a recommendation that every child of 4 months of age should be taking iron drops and also drops of vitamin D. And uniformly across the country, they all get the same recommendation, and that for liquid iron supplementation. Because there's a very low compliance with this recommendation, and because there's a very high rate of anemia, we looked for some other way that we might be able to improve in compliance with getting extra iron into these kids' diets. And I don't know if you're familiar with the sprinkles, but sprinkles was a novel formulation of iron that was developed in Toronto Children's Hospital. And they were able to take iron and microencapsulate it and turn it into a powder form. And then you can take iron and put it into little packages like the artificial sweetener packages you have in restaurants. I picked 2 of them up this morning for breakfast. And you can put in it as much iron as you want. You can put in some vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc. Whatever you want, you just put in the package according to the needs of the population. And the directions are that once a day, the mother opens the package and sprinkles it into weaning food or any other food for the child. And it's, in our studies, we found that there's very, very high compliance and level of satisfaction with this method of giving iron. It doesn't stain the teeth. It doesn't stain the clothes. It doesn't cause changes in color of the stool. It doesn't cause abdominal pain in the kid. And they're very happy with that, with this method. So our basic study was to look at the effectiveness of sprinkles, this fortification, versus liquid iron in preventing iron deficiency at 12 months of age, but it also allowed us to look at the effect of multivitamin home fortification of foods on the reported rate of infectious diseases, even though sample size was drawn for looking at iron deficiency. You see here what each capsule contained, and I'll skip this also. Our study design was to choose maternal and child health clinics as the randomization unit, and because people tend to live in neighborhoods by ethnicity. And for the 12 clinics that were chosen, there'd be half of the, in the Bedouin neighborhoods, half would receive the Sprinkles intervention, and half would receive recommendation to take iron drops and iron and A&D drops. And the same thing for the Jewish population, half the clinics, all the children in that sample half would receive fortification with Sprinkles and half with the control group. For ethical reasons, we decided that in both groups we should give the Sprinkles and the iron drops out for free and the vitamin A and D drops out for free. So we didn't have a control group that received what the usual people receive, which is a recommendation to take, to go and buy iron and give it. We actually gave it to them for free. We interviewed the mothers every month and checked the compliance with the Sprinkles or with the iron drops or the A&D drops, and we renewed the supply, and we also asked them about the associated morbidity. This is just a quick slide showing you can see the, here. Just to give you an idea of the population, already at the baseline of 6 months of age, almost 60% of the Bedouin infants were already had hemoglobin of less than 11 at six months of age, and 35% of the Jewish kids. You can see here other iron deficiency indicators. And low folic acid was found in 9% of the Bedouin children, 7% of the Jewish children at 6 months of age, and low zinc levels at 4.7% of the Bedouin kids and 3.5% of the Jewish kids at 6 months of age at baseline. We used a index of iron deficiency called the iron deficiency indicator, in which two of these six measures of iron deficiency, if you have any of the two six, you consider to have a positive iron deficiency indicator. And just very, very quickly, we found among Bedouin infants that the children who received Sprinkles had a bigger decrease in the iron deficiency index at 12 months of age than those who received the liquid iron drops. The same thing was true in the Jewish children, but it did not reach statistically significant. And in both groups, the best predictor of iron deficiency at 12 months of age was whether they had iron deficiency at 6 months of age. In the groups that received Sprinkles, since there was the folic acid and zinc in the little sachets, little packages, there was the expected increase in folic acid and zinc levels. And then I'm going to, the next three slides, show you the results of interviewing mothers on episodes of illness during the previous month and visits to the ER and hospitalizations. When you look at the mother's reporting of possible infectious diseases, there's no difference between intervention arms, Sprinkles versus liquid iron and liquid vitamins A and D, for specific diagnosis like URI, diarrhea, or otitis, neither among Bedouin or Jewish infants. But there was just a difference in among Bedouin infants as to whether the mother reported that the child had a fever for an unknown reason. Lower in the Sprinkles group and higher in the control group. If you look at reported clinic visits for infectious diseases in the among Bedouin, 62% said that they had taken the child to a clinic for an infectious disease at any time in the six-month follow-up period from 6 months to 12 months of age, and that decreased to 43% in those who received the multivitamin supplementation of Sprinkles. In among the Jewish infants, the same thing was found, with 40.8% in the control group reported clinic visits for infectious diseases versus 23.4% in those who received the multivitamin supplementation in the form of Sprinkles. Similarly, for ER visits, there were more reported ER visits by the mothers for infectious diseases among both Bedouin and Jewish infants, who received they have received liquid iron supplementation, the control group, than those who received the Sprinkles. So again, it looked like having the multivitamin supplementation in the form of Sprinkles decreased the rate of, or was associated, I should say, with a decreased reported visits to clinics and to the ER for infectious diseases. among Bedouin infants only. There's also a decreased reported hospitalization rate for infectious diseases among by the mothers of Bedouin infants who receive the sprinkles. Again, association with receiving sprinkles and decreased reported hospitalizations. Right before I came, we did our initial analysis, actually looking not at just at the reported morbidity rates, but looking at hospital records and ER records to actually be able to look at recorded diagnoses for infectious diseases in this population. And emergency visits with fever is any child that had a diagnosis of fever by itself, which is generally some kind of viral illness, or otitis media and fever, fever and pneumonia, fever and diarrhea, fever and any other infectious disease. And you can see that in the controls, there was a higher rate of visits to the emergency room with fever and any other diagnosis for infectious diseases than in the control group. And there's no difference by ethnicity. And we looked at hospitalization rates. We also found that the controls had higher rates of hospitalization for any infectious diseases than did the group that received the sprinkles, again, with no difference by ethnicity. Since our sample size was not drawn to look at infectious disease morbidity, we could not analyze this data by specific diagnosis, and it has to be seen as very, very preliminary data. But since it was so consistent by method of reporting and recording it, we thought it was worth intriguing results that's worth thinking about, and certainly, and perhaps would justify further study. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating study. Questions? I'll start. I'm drawn between two things here, of one of trying to think of mechanisms, and the other one not caring about mechanisms and just started giving everybody sprinkles. Would there be any problems with that, or do you think there are mechanisms underlying this, or are these somehow spurious? Or?
I'd be interested in some of the specialists in nutrition in the audience perhaps addressing this question, but I think that the two main candidates for micronutrients that might be the cause of the decreased infection rate, assuming that it's real, if it's confirmed in further studies, would be iron and zinc. And basically, you can make these up any way you want. You can ask the manufacturer to make any kind of mix you want in the packages. So you put in iron, you put in vitamin C to increase the absorption of iron, put in zinc, and then other things you might want to put in for other reasons. But I'd be interested in comments of the audience.
In the maternal child world, have any input on possible mechanisms in previous research?
We're now considering expanding this, or looking at using this more for maternal health. The Bedouin mothers have incredible micronutrient deficiencies, since many, many Bedouin mothers have a tea based on basically pita, whole wheat and white wheat, pita and tea, sweetened tea. And so they have a lot of deficiencies in micronutrients. And we're thinking of now trying to design a sprinkles formulation that might help them receive the lacking nutrients in an acceptable way. We'd rather improve their nutrition. We're also working on trying to get them to, and I work with a colleague, Kathy Abusad, who's done a huge amount of work in trying to work with the Bedouin, and she has developed a whole program of using the traditional foods of the Bedouin to encourage them to eat foods that would give them adequate nutrition. But it's very, very difficult in the long haul to change eating behavior. And in the short run, we might have to use this until we hopefully would manage to.
We can imagine they've been eating one way for thousands of years.
But once you put junk food into a culture, it just changes overnight.
Did junk food in other countries? Thank you. Uh-huh.